I want to welcome you to the new Drag Champ Show. The three amigos are leading this show, none other than Jake Hodge, Mr. Hoodrich, Ryan Gleghorn, and Gary Don Free, Mr. Drag Champ himself. Now, I wouldn't ride to the store with these three yahoos, but you put them together for some good old stories, some racing news, some results from all over the world. Now, that's a party you just don't want to miss. So, let's tune in, let's hang on, and let's get it on. I want to welcome you to the Drag Champ Show.
All right, with us on the Drag Champ Show this evening is a man who is very familiar with Million Dollar Winner Circle Pictures. He is probably one of the most clutch performers in all of big money bracket racing and easily one of the most fun guys at the racetrack, Gary Williams. How are you doing today, bud?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. I am sitting in a hotel room in Millington, Tennessee.
Right up the street from me.
Oh, yeah. I'm about 5 minutes from the racetrack or so.
I'll be there on Saturday, guys. I'm going to have to skip most of the week. I got to be there Saturday to watch them crown this guaranteed million-dollar winner. It's only been like a year and a half in the making, so we got to see what happens.
Right.
Yep. There's someone's race cars fired up out there.
Alfie's trying to get stuff ready for tomorrow already, and we're probably not doing nothing until Wednesday. Got to get everything warmed up, I guess.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Oh, so you've been on a little bit of a traveling circuit the last couple weeks.
Yeah, we've been around. We've been running everywhere that has all these big races, make it hard not to go.
Yeah, I mean, I could understand that. I mean, you've had a pretty good year. Picked up a 100 grand win just a couple weeks ago over in Ohio Valley, didn't you?
Yeah, that was a pretty neat race. 64-car shootout type setup. It's neat little mom and pop track, I'd like to call it, our home track style places.
Yeah.
I like that little race. The last two times I've been there, done good. So it's a neat place.
Yeah, and I know it's probably pretty cool to get to run, which I don't know how many finals you and Kenny have run in, but I don't think y'all have run in one for 100 grand before.
No, we ran in one for 50 in 1999 for no split final for 50 grand.
Wow.
Well, I take it you won that because your record in 50s was undefeated there for a while, right?
Right, yeah, that was my first real big win, anything of that stature, whatever. It was St. Louis, the gateway races they had out there,
Megabuck.
It was one of those races.
That's pretty cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it paid a lot to runner-up, and the guys we raced for were kind of in a pissing match, so me and Kenny just went out and raced.
Gotcha.
That's pretty cool. And that was your first big win at that point? Of that size?
It was definitely anything of that size. There wasn't but a few 50s a year, back then. So, I mean, then to win one of those things, and at that time, I've never heard of nobody winning one, no split, but that was – but they paid 25 grand for runner-up, so
it wasn't weird.
That's still a big difference, but that's still a good payday either way, right?
Right, that's why I told him 25 grand's more than I came here with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially you said that was 99?
Yeah, 1999.
So back then, it would only have been the original 50 in Michigan and that one, and then obviously the million.
Yeah, the million was going by then. The original one at Stanton.
Yep.
That one, and I want to say that, Earwood and them were doing like the Millennium Million right in that area.
Yep.
And stuff. But now there wasn't a lot of races over that price, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was. I mean, back then, 99, 10 grand was a really good race. I mean,
we traveled everywhere for 10 grand. We got our wheels rolling for that.
Oh, yeah.
Now you don't roll out for less than 20 probably, right?
Yeah, I mean, we went to some races that are 20s, but like most of the time, I don't make it a priority unless it's like a 50 with the things they're doing these days. I mean, it's unreal how much is out there for what we're doing. It's definitely came in more into our field to play, everything before we used to have to go either IHRA or NHRA or something to help get the sponsorship stuff and to get the notoriety and the coverage to get it to where we could actually get, help on stuff. And now with bracket racing blowing up the way it is, a lot of those guys are coming this way, and it makes it really neat that, even with us always just mainly strictly bracket racing. I mean, we went IHRA for a while, and my brother's doing some NHRA and stuff now. But, I mean, I ran some NHRA, and that's kind of helped me a lot getting the NHRA and IHRA stuff, getting, any kind of help from anywhere. Bracket racing was kind of like looked on as like the kids on the playground type thing. And this the way that all this big stuff scrolled up, all those companies are really looking at who's here. There's 500, 600, 700 cars showing up to these things now, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's really blown up. I mean, I remember me growing up, I've always been a bracket racing family, but growing up, I always looked up to like Rampy, Fletcher, Jeggy, people like that, because they're winning world titles on the NHRA side, or Bertozzi on the IHRA side. You know, I never even thought about big money bracket race until, damn, I was like already like a teenager.
Yeah, I mean, to get anything back then, you just have to look, mainly before social media, you were looking at national dragsters or yep. anything like that to figure out what's going on in the world. Well, they didn't cover the bracket races hardly. I mean, they covered the Moroso 5-day and the Million maybe or something like that. They would put a page or something in. And those races were huge because of they got coverage, you know. And now that, you know, social media and stuff, you see a lot more of the bracket racing. Back then, we would leave and we wouldn't come home for months. We would just go from one race to the other. We'd, like a lot of tracks had like gambler races on Tuesdays or Wednesdays. We'd stop and run them. There was two granders in Rockingham like every Wednesday. I used to go run those if it was less than 5-6 hours away. We'd run into Carolinas a lot and just go race over there on a Tuesday or Wednesday and go to the next race and next race and next race. You know, fuel was only 99 cents a gallon, so it was – just drive wherever you wanted. As long as you can afford the fuel and tires, go.
Yeah, those pickup trucks don't take as much gas as those big toters, do they?
No, but we've been running in toters, though, since we got – I was racing for the Sologies, like 1996, and it was a toter and a stacker. Okay. So I've kind of, like, done that style racing since the mid to late 90s when I started traveling people. I was racing for other people and using their stuff.
Gotcha. And – so you started traveling in 96.
Yeah, I want to say it was either November of 95 or 96. They called me and had me go to Moroso and race, which is I just drove over there and ran their stuff. And then we made a plan to race the next year. And I started racing for the Sologies all the way up until 2000, the end of 99. And then started racing for Bloomfield in 2000. And I ran for him all the way up till like 2010, and then I started the guys that bought Phantom Race Cars, and I started working with them and racing with them from 10 to 12, 13-ish, and then been doing like my own stuff since then, or running with Bloomfield some, and then running with the FTI clan with my car and all that stuff. So
now before that, you were just a local track guy. You and your brother both were, right?
Yeah, my brother went since the point he was old enough to race, probably. He kind of traveled a little bit to go to them all, and I was pretty much, I only went to the ones in Florida and stuff, or five granders up in Georgia, you know, not real far until then. But I mean, I wasn't but like 20 years old, 19, 20 years old when I started traveling racing.
So pretty much your entire adult life you've been doing this.
Yeah, I want to say I was 18 when I first started racing for Sologies.
Holy shit.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, not to date you, but how old are you now, Gary?
42.
So in the 24 years, we call it, you've been traveling bracket racing.
Yeah.
At any point.
It's all I used to do at all. And then we, you know, the race car stuff, and now we got a trucking business and stuff like that. But
yeah,
that's pretty much what I used to do. That's all I did.
So let's just say 18-year-old Gary Williams, you go back and tell him what racing's like now. Would you believe it?
No, not at all. I thought 5 and 10 granders were huge. Those would change my life back then, and now we're racing for $1 million.
Guaranteed million. Two of them
guaranteed
this year.
Yeah, it's unreal what's out there.
I mean, I remember even when I first got started, like, we all thought, like, it, like the million's never going to get guaranteed. Like, yeah, we're gonna race for 300 to 350,000 every year, and we're going to be happy with it, and it's going to be a really cool deal. But for it to actually be happening, and we're on the second one of the year on a fucking shit crazy year it's been. I mean, how do you even like fathom that? Especially coming from when, like you said, 5 and 10s were huge.
Yeah, I would have never. I mean, you would think all the sponsorship stuff that has to be involved and all that, and all the different racers becoming promoters definitely made it grow and blow up. And, you know, the people that go outside the box and try to think of the other ways to help get it larger and stuff. All that does is make it better for the racer. The only thing that was scaring me is I don't know how all these people are going to be able to do all of these races with, you know, mainly with the economy like going on the way it is and how much a few weeks ago we were like looking at $37,000 in entry fees in the next few months. You know, I just don't know how everybody can do it, but cars are showing up every race you go to.
Yeah. I had the same concerns just because, like you said, if you were to hit all of them back when, if you went from like Bohannon's race to when the 500 was supposed to be before it got rained out and you hit both flings, you go to Memphis and then you go to Montgomery. I mean, that's half.
That's where it was 37,000.
Yeah. I mean, you're looking at least half of people's salaries.
Yeah.
To race for a month and a half. Yep. And that I was really concerned. I'm like, well, how are you going to get people to show up to all of these without them going bankrupt? But I think what we're noticing now, and I noticed it a little bit the last 2 weeks, is not everyone who went to Galat came to Bristol. You know, you had a little bit of a different crowd. And I think we're going to have a lot bigger crowd, or not bigger crowd, but different crowd this year. We're gonna, or this weekend in Memphis. And I think we're going to have a different crowd in Montgomery as well. I think we're just going to get a bunch of different groups of racers, hopefully. Because obviously we don't want to see any of these races flop.
No, them guys getting hurt just, you know, that hurts us in the long run too. As long as they all make enough to continue on, and if they hit home runs, they hit home runs, whatever it is. Definitely the more the merrier for us. It keeps everybody, all of them on their toes. I mean, they're all trying to outdo each other, and it makes it to where every race you don't have to pick and choose them because they're all starting to get good.
Yep. Is Donovan with you this weekend?
No, he's not. He'll be in Montgomery, but he's not here.
How weird is it having your kid racing with you all the time now?
When he gets to go, it's fun. It's neat. I mean, it's definitely I don't feel like I can teach him like whatever I want to because I just can't put it in the words and stuff enough. And I'm not like the kind of person that can really help a lot with the teaching. I'm like, you got to hit the tree. The car's doing this and this is what I would do, but do what you want. But then again, I mean, I'm just wanting to be safe. So I'm always like, don't hit the brakes as hard as I do. And do as I say, but not as I do. And it's hard to tell.
Yeah. But they watch you, Dad. They watch you. They want to do what you do.
Yeah. And he's been doing real well and he's won some races and stuff. And we're, getting, I got a little door car for him at home that been broke most of this year, all of this year. So we're putting another motor in it and get it where he gets to practice more and get back on his toes like he was last year.
He did good early in the year. Him and Gage were sharing Gage's car and doing really well, right?
Yeah, in like November, he won the 10 grand. He actually won the West Palm, their 5-day style race, but it was like a 3-day.
Yeah.
The Moroso Memorial race down there. He won the 10 grander down there, which is awesome that, you know, Troy and me and him and all won that race. So for him to win that 10, that was pretty cool. And the New Year's National races, he won a 5 there a few years ago and then the 10 the next year. So it was like that was his little go-to race. And, you know, so he's won a couple 10s and 5s and stuff in the dragster. And he's made it down in his little Nova and stuff at home. And then he's won stuff in Gage's car. And he does pretty good.
So is it harder for you to explain just because maybe you're so – it's more natural for you, or is it because maybe you're at a level that's hard to take back to a beginner level and break it down at that point?
I just think it's really hard for me to put it in words. I mean, I know, like, Luke and all of them have schools, and if you go out there and learn how much you're holding and what you're killing and get the feel for it, then it's a lot easier to do, and it's – to tell him how much he's holding and what feels right to him, I don't feel like I can tell him that. But, you know, you got to dial up and learn if you're going to do it. If not, you just use the cars. We have good cars, too, most of the time. So just, you know, whichever one works for you. But he definitely likes to hold and do stuff, too. And then it's something that, not saying that you got to be natural at it, but you got to do it more. And when he hasn't been racing a lot recently, I think that's where even when he does lay down good runs and loses, he gets all upset, you know. But it's racing these days, or there's just last week I was fourth out package loser, you know. You just can't win sometimes even when you're doing everything right.
So does that make it hard sometimes to when you're doing it basically for a living kind of deal, and you go out there and you go, look, I laid down 4 total and I'm going home, and that's a difference between maybe a $20,000 payday and no payday? Or is it just one of those deals where you shake it off and go, it's racing, show up the next week, next day, and go?
Yeah, I mean, it's frustrating, but then again, luckily enough, we're lucky enough that we get to go to the next race. You know, there's so many of them and stuff. I'm just hoping we win, you know, the cream rises to the top at all these big races with, you know, you see Scotty and Nick in the finals the other day and all the stuff that they keep, we keep knocking, showing up and entering all we can and doing what we can. If we can just pay all the bills and still have a good time and take care of everything we can and see how it turns out.
Yeah, because I used to watch golf, and I noticed those guys that finished in 20th place versus the first place, and you realize over 5 days of golf, they were literally four or five putts made or missed, made the difference in making hundreds of thousands versus, you know, nothing.
And it's kind of the same thing. Yeah, the top 100 in golf make more than we'll ever make doing this stuff.
But it's a huge difference in just literally a few putts in a week, and that's no different than maybe your weeks where you go to the million last week and – you know, one or two little rounds here or there could have made a difference. And so it's, sometimes it's tough, and the other times it's like, oh, I'm right there, and I just got to keep taking my shots.
Yeah, I mean, I've had years that I was driving better and didn't win as much. You know, it's just how I've had years that I had what I thought was the best car under me for a long time and really, really good on the tree and couldn't really do much. And then you get years that you can't do no wrong, you know. I mean, in 2010, I won something nearly every week and sometimes a couple races that year. And that was like my best year ever. And within a few years later, I'm hitting the tree better and the cars are best thing ever set in, and I can't hardly win anything. So it's definitely a roller coaster ride that you got to be able to weather the bad times and take the good times when you got them, and don't take them for granted. You know, you go out there and you win everything for a couple months, and don't blow that money away, because there's going to be a dry spell at some point.
Oh, yeah. What do you think, because you kind of talked about it a little bit, racing is dramatically tougher. I'm not going to say it wasn't tough back mid to late 90s, early 2000s, but it seems like the packages are tighter on a more consistent basis now.
The cars and the track prep and all that has come a long way. I'm not going to say that it was easier back then, by no means, but there was, out of the 400 that were at the track, there was 30 people that could win. Now out of the 400 at the track, there's 200 that can win. Everybody's cars are good. If they slip off the button 9 times in a row or 10 times in a row, they can get paid. Back when, you know, there was only so many people that really took the time and worked on their cars to make them good. And now you can go out and buy a good car. You know, you just call and order it. And it don't take a whole lot. Everybody's helping everybody, and all these drag racing schools trying to teach people different tactics of racing. It's definitely made it to where you're not shooting at sitting targets anymore. They're moving targets out there. There's definitely all the cars, and I mean, the tires have come so far. The track prep's come so far. The carburetors, the trannies, the converters, the chassis, everything has improved so much in the last several years that you could buy a car and go dead on 9 times in a row.
But the driver still makes a difference, a.k.a. you won 100K and 220s in the last, 2 months?
I mean, yeah, you got to be able to hit the tree that many times and make the right decision and get lucky when you need it. And, I mean, I tell it all the time when people are like, oh, he got so lucky fifth round. Yeah, you know what you did to get lucky fifth round? You won the first four. So it's hard to get lucky fifth round if you're out third round, you know.
That is really cool.
So if you can work through the rounds that you're supposed to win and then get by the rounds that you weren't, then that's how you get through and win these races. But, and I like, once somebody learns how to win, it comes easier. Like there's, once people, even in junior dragster, once the kid finally breaks through and starts winning, the next wins come easier because they've done it and they have the confidence they can do it. So just knowing that you can helps. And the last few months, I mean, I haven't done anything different. I just, my car has been good and been ending up on the right side of stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you picked up dragster here just 2 weeks ago, right?
Yeah. At the Glock race, I runnered up and got a dragster frame. And then I runnered up the next day in the 15 grander with the truck. Like the race in Clay City, if my tickets from that race were unbelievable. I had like 2 lights that were teen, all the rest were O. I never got to the finish line more than 8,000ths or less than 8/10,000ths. And everything was double O, take double O pretty much. And most of the time I was letting out until they were going to go by me, and then they would hit the brakes or do something and I would get there a little bit, or, you know, they would let out just right enough to make it me look perfect. So you definitely got to be living right and getting lucky. But if you get that first foot of the track down and, you know, make it look different to them too, it always helps.
Gotcha. You may want to talk about this, you may not want to talk about this, but you and your brother are not boring people whatsoever. I don't want you to rat nobody out in any of these stories. If you don't want to, understand it, they're your buddies, but give me the best after race story or race and traveling story you got.
Race and traveling story. Well, we go way back to like the late 90s when I was running around with the Sologi brothers. Those guys were as crazy as a sprayed cockroach. I mean, they would do the weirdest, craziest. They made sure every track we went to that they called and rented a North Star Cadillac because they were fast, and they would tear them up and return them all beat up, whatever. But we go out, and me and Andy and Sologi were sitting there hanging out and having a good old time at the track, and he decides it's time to go deer hunting with the Cadillac. So we get a spotlight and a Cadillac, and we're driving around the back roads on the farms in Michigan, and we shine on this field, and it's full of deer. And he's like, shut the light off, and he starts flooring it. And then he goes driving into that field through the ditch wide open in this Cadillac. And I think it was soybean. It was about the height of the hood of the car, just like the soybean was hitting the hood of the car as we go through it, and the speedometer would flash 88, 88, 88, because it's going ding, 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 wide open as hard as it would go chasing after these deer. He's going to try to run one over, and he's flying after them all he can, and we're chasing them all the way to the tree line, sliding through the grass, going over these hills in the field that I don't know if there's a pond, a house, a barn, a rock, or anything on the other side. All I know is the deer ran over the hill. We're going right behind them. And all the way across the field, out the other side. I know the farmer woke up the next day. It looked like the aliens were out there doing those marks out in their fields. You know, this guy was just as crazy. We got close enough to them deer that the spotlight was burning the ticks off their butt. But it was, I knew we weren't going to make it out of that field. In some way, shape, or form, we made it through the ditch and barely back up on the road. The next day, that Cadillac looked like it had racing stripes all the way down the side, clay all under it. Half the tires were flat and had to get all the grass and stuff out of the beads, and it would sit crooked with the air ride and stuff. I was like, man, we ain't ever going to be able to return this car. He said, oh, run over there to pressure washer. We'll drop it off tomorrow. And they just didn't care. Those guys were as crazy. They shot a deer one time and cleaned it in the trailer at the racetrack, blood coming out of the trailer. They're in there cleaning it. They got it hanging from the winch that holds the dragster up, just cutting all the guts out of it, cleaning it up. They were just as crazy as it comes. Yeah, that's like I was saying. Those guys were crazy as a sprayed roach. He got to – I raced his cars for years, and last year when we were down in Immokalee, he came over and raced my car. It was pretty cool.
That's pretty cool. You get to return the favor all those years later.
I heard there was an interesting story at Bradenton with a gas pump and a golf cart.
And a lighter.
There's got to be some good backstory to that.
Yeah, he was being an idiot and pulled up there, and I turned the gas pump on and bumped the windshield of his golf cart and lit the lighter and told him to back up or die. And I don't know. I was like, whoops, that kind of probably crossed the line a little bit.
Well, I understand you thought the pump was off, but it was actually on.
Yeah, it was. When I bumped it and it sprayed, I was like, whoa. Normally they put the kill switch on the pump behind it. It's always off, and it wasn't.
Oh, man. And who was this in the golf cart?
No names.
Gotcha. No names pretty popular on this podcast. I mean, they show up all the time.
Yeah.
So we were talking about your 50s and winning these big races. You were undefeated in what, the first 9 or 10 50 grand and up races you ran?
It was like finals. 20, I think 25 grand and up, and it or 30 or something and up, and it was 9. Yeah, the first 9 I won them all.
It was
since that point, I've been dropping the ball more.
Now, wasn't it Bozeman and the little foot brake S10 truck that got you in the 100 grander last summer? Was it the first one you'd lost of that large? First final you'd lost of that large? Is that Byron or something?
It was, I'm sorry, what? Hold on 1 second. What'd you say? Williams in Reynolds, Georgia. Oh, yeah. And it was a 75 grander. They combined like a 25 and a 50. at Reynolds, Georgia.
It's SFG Williams. Race.
SFG race. Yep. Yeah, they combined it. Joe Williams, and I went 1,000 red in the final with the Sonoma. And then it was that one up there was I run it up the 30s, the 30 and 100 all that weekend, the foot breakers.
That's right. That was the one I was thinking about. It was a couple of no boxers back to back. You made both finals. One was like 100. Yeah. I couldn't remember the other.
Well, it was I think it was a 30, a 100, and a 30. And Bozeman in the first one and Cameron Mason in the second one, they beat me in the finals, both of them. So, yeah, I started dropping the ball. Then they just all started falling. I finally won the 100 there over Kenny. That was good to get that score going back the right way.
Yeah, you kind of want to come out on the winning end of those big races, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's normally when it counts.
So at the 1.1 million, you won the 20 grand warm-up race, although that was kind of like a marathon, right?
Yeah, same people that are in all the other races, but yeah, I won the smaller one, but they couldn't get that one done because of how many people showed up and what all went on the first few days. So it got strung out for days and days. I think I started on Tuesday and ended on Friday to win the, we ran a few rounds one day and then finished it off on Friday. The rest of their scheduling was so good and made it such a nice race. You know, you're either done for the day and got everything handled, or you know, you race and get back in or whatever. And the time frames all went well, but that one was definitely strung out the Tuesday to Friday for a 20 grander. But, luckily I came out on top of that, and it was, help pay for that weekend.
Yeah, you probably felt like you worked the hardest for that 20 grander than you had in any race in your life against. I mean, there was, what, 600-700 cars in that one? And it was one of the biggest 20 granders around.
Yeah, definitely. That's why I said these people just keep showing up. And, I mean, I'm glad it's working out and we still get to do all these. It was definitely the same crowd of people that paid 100s and 1.1 million. I wish I would have won the right race that weekend, but any of them helped.
Seemed like that weekend was in the cards for Mr. Cisco. He seemed to have a pretty good weekend there.
He definitely had a handle on something, didn't he?
Had a little luck on his side with that rear end last in one last round to collect big payday.
And to come back in a different car the next day and get it done.
Yeah, you've had a few of those weekends in your life too, so you know how good it feels.
Yeah, I've been lucky to get away with some of that stuff. So, yeah, I don't know if I ever know what 1.2 million feels like yet, but we can work on it.
Well, maybe this week.
Yeah, yeah.
You find out what 1 million sounds like, it's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, if I win that, I probably won't win the next day.
Yeah. Will you even show up on Sunday if you win on Saturday?
I'm not, it matters how that night goes. we're not committing to anything at this point.
You might have to go deer hunting in a Cadillac.
Yeah, you might have to get a Cadillac and go deer hunting.
Oh, man.
So do you, I noticed you obviously were running the truck the other day, and I don't see you much in the truck. Do you run it? Do you like running the door car more, or are you just a dragster guy by heart?
No, I love the truck. I love racing the door cars, and mainly when they're good. And that guy, he comes around and does everything for it. So he makes it real easy to run that thing, and I like it a lot. Everything I ask for, he does to it. It's fat guy friendly, and yeah, I jump right up in there, and it's got all the options, you know, interior lights, nitrous, whatever it needs, it has. And normally it's pretty good. We sometimes have days that we got to fight it, but it's normally real, real good. And he's going to go to the regular OG million dollar race. So I get to run it again there. I race it down home, but we don't race down there a lot. And he comes to mostly any of the Southern SFG races or stuff like that. He planned on going to the 500 that got canceled. And we're going to do quite a bit of racing in that thing, starting the SFG in South Georgia and all the Florida stuff that's going on, and the SFG in Bradenton. And so I'll get to run it a lot. But no, the door cars are way more fun. That thing don't wheelie. If it wheelied, that'd be the best car ever. But and without pulling a wheelie, it's just the race car.
Well, it may not wheelie, but you sure send it in the fucking burnout.
Yeah, I told him that's the only fun, you know, it don't wheelie. So if he kind of tells me, you know, sometimes he's like, oh, you're killing me. I'm like, don't worry about it. And he sometimes he laughs about it when the wind light's on. But, you know, he's kind of got to put up with it. If it won't wheelie, I got to have some fun somewhere. And that the one down there in the Reynolds race that I ended up red lighting in the final, the track was a little iffy at best. Mm-hmm. And come to find out, we had some shocks on the back that the springs were loose. And I don't know, something wasn't right. That thing it was spinning and not running the same thing every time. So I was doing fire burnouts with it and just having a blast. And at one point I made it like 300 feet down the track in the door car doing a burnout. That's about the only place you could do that at.
That was the second SFG race I ever worked. I remember that.
Oh, I was getting some fryers down there.
Oh, for sure.
I think I was watching that one live, and you just go past the screen and go off the screen, you know, the live feed. And I'm like, where the hell is he going? They show you backing up from like 8th mile or something. So
all that for a 590.
So the door car is more fun, but what's been the big reason for the resurgence of the door cars winning a lot of these big bracket races? Because is it the split and keeping them separate, or is it just better equipment now? Because for the longest, when I watched, you know, the big money stuff, it was always dragster, dragster, dragster. And now it seems like door cars are more than holding their own.
Well, yeah, they're definitely holding their own. And once they get down into the race enough that they're thrown in with the dragsters, or even like most SFG or other races that hold them out till the final, they've got to beat one dragster. Well, most of the time, by the time they get down that late, their door cars are as good, if not better, than the dragster. You know, they got a handle on them, and they're just as good as anything else. And definitely, if you keep them separated until they only got to beat so many of them. And same way with the foot brake guys winning through the door car side and then winning the overall and all that. I'm not saying they wouldn't win if they were thrown in from the first round, but it definitely would be hard for them, you know, and it's not – they all lay down good runs. Some of the door car races or packages are way tighter than the dragster packages. It just – I really think with them keeping it separate that when it gets late, the dragsters aren't judging them. They're not judging the dragster, and the cars – if the cars are on, it don't matter what vehicle it is.
Definitely opened up. I think that's helped to some of the car counts, though, because you've got foot breakers now that have a chance to get in there and, you know, or bottom bowl, whatever you want to call them, to get in there and compete. And door cars don't have to wait, you know, 10 door cars aren't competing against 100 dragsters. So it's usually, you know, pretty even numbers, it seems like, or at least close
right.
to it.
And before, they used to throw them in, like put them together at 16 or 32 or whenever they laddered. Now they're keeping them separate all the way down till, you know, there's either one or in the finals. You know, it's semis or finals when the door cars get put in. So I'm not at all the races, like even the fling races, they do at 16. At 16, then they're all combined. But when you're getting more and more of the door cars that feel like they have a chance, when they're thrown in at 16 cars, there's most of the time there's at least 8 or 9 of them, you know, getting put in instead of before. People wouldn't – we love bringing a door car. We just got another one. We've got to get out there and get done. And it's more fun, and it's a different – we don't have to run each other as much because we different class and all that stuff. And everybody that travels now likes to have one of each. It seems like, you know, you bring a little door car dragster, and that makes it to where before we would just haul dragster because it was the best tool for the job. And now that they separate them, there puts more good people in door cars too. I mean, like Lynch and all them running door cars, everybody brings their door cars now.
It's pretty cool. It keeps it diverse, which is nice.
Yeah, and the door cars are way more fun.
I like doing wheelies. Although I did some dragster wheelies at the at Ardmore earlier this year. We fixed that, though.
I got to do one last week with Burns' blower dragster, and when that got cool at night, it got a little wheelie action. But, yeah, those are not intended on normally.
Yeah. No, they're not set up best to go pulling the wheels up in a dragster. So, and it damn sure doesn't feel as fun as a door car. I mean, I had 1150 door car that would tote the wheels a little bit, and that was a quarter mile 1150, and that was more fun than, you know, a 7 second dragster. So,
yep.
But I love my dragster, man. So
yeah,
all right, man.
Cool for the job.
Yeah. So it's getting late. We've kind of got started late, so we won't hold you up much longer. I know you got some work to do this week, but tell us, I know you've been associated. You told us about all the different people you've been associated with, but the big one on the side of the door right now is FTI. So when did that come about and how'd that come about?
Yeah, that's definitely the one that helps us get around and do stuff. And, you know, Troy's been a part of that for like 10 years now, and they help us a ton, and they do a lot. McLeod and all them just bought that stuff, and they're trying to do, you know, as much as they can and keep us all out on the road as much as possible. Troy's been racing a lot more recently. It definitely gets the name of our stuff out there and all, covers a lot of stuff. The Nesbitt Race Engines, man. They do ton for me. They take care of anything, get it stuff overnighted to me if I need it, or just, you know, whatever needs to be done. He takes care of me and answers the phone all hours of the night, silly questions that people ask, and I'll call him up and he helps out. And his engine has been real, real good for me. You know, the Mosier, they take their brakes and rear ends and stuff have been real good for us, and they're personal people. They're out racing with us all the time at these bigger races now, so it's nice to have them at the track in case you need stuff. And they, you know, are good company and good people to deal with. So Mickey Thompson Tires, they have been unreal. We tested their stuff for years and they've worked with us and we worked with them, and now they got some of the best tires on the market, and it shows. I mean, every race you go to, they're the ones in the finals, you know. They quick fuel carburetors, they BP race fuels, they their fuels second to none, you know. It's the best stuff around. As it goes on, you know, Autometer and Jegs and all that, good companies to deal with and take care of us. So we just continue on, and they help us get out here and get to go to all these races that are back to back to back, and we wear these cars out, and they show at the end of the week that they're still there for us. So
that's awesome.
With those people helping us, it makes it a lot better.
Well, I guess I only have one more question for you. We have $2 million races left. We got one this week. We got one in 2 weeks. There's what, three, four of you that have won two?
Is that right? Yeah.
Kenny, Triplett, and Verdi?
Yeah.
Who's going to be the first one to get to three, and will we see three this year?
Yeah, you could have four this year if we win this weekend in 2 weeks.
That's true.
You know, well, that's what we're shooting for. But, yeah, I mean, definitely I feel like I'm in the hot seat on that. I was the first one to do two, so I want to try to be the first one to do three and four and five and six and seven and all those numbers. Yep. But, yeah, with the more opportunities that we're getting, you know, three, four, five times a year, it's going to happen a lot quicker. It's just like all the 50-granders. Jason Lynch and me used to go back and forth of who had the most of those, and I think he was at, like, eight finals with five wins or something, and I had six wins at 50 grand. So it was like that. Those races back and forth, I hope that me and Kenny and all of us get to go back and forth at it too, but I just hope I get back on top and stay that way.
Well, we hope so too, man. We appreciate you coming on with us, man, and good luck the rest of the weekend. Hope to see you in the winner's circle.
All right, man, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. Later, guys.
All right, see ya. Wow, that's G-Dub.
That's the man right there. I mean,
just listen to what he's done, and I mean, the hundreds, the 50s, the unbelievable, the millions, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the first guy to win $2 million races, and forever it was that way until recently. I mean, with Verdi and Kenny and Triplett getting theirs in the last couple of years. Unbelievable, the track record he has and the history that's in that family. Not just himself, but his brother Troy, and now he has Donovan growing up, who's a heck of a racer himself, doesn't get traveled nearly as much as the rest of the family does, but obviously, he's still a Williams. He's still a threat out there. I knew we weren't going to be able to get all the stories out of him, and that's fine. Some of those aren't meant for it to be on air, but it was cool to get the deer hunting story for sure.
Yeah, that was actually a good one. I didn't know where that was going, and he said deer hunting. I'm thinking, what? And then he's actually deer hunting with the Cadillac.
Yeah, with the Cadillac.
That's fun. And then, you know, you look at where he and Troy are at. I mean, obviously they're two of the bigger names in bracket racing history, really. I mean, you can throw Kenny Underwood and some of these other guys, but they've been doing it at a high level for a long time. And this year, every time you look up, one of the two's in a final, you know, in a big money final, and still winning at that level, even though the competition is better. As he said, you know, maybe half the field really stands a great chance of winning any one of these races that shows up. And I mean, it's impressive to watch him continue to just turn on wind lights. And the coolest thing, and I forgot to ask him, was, you know, parking it on the dance floor. I mean, he literally parked his dragster on the dance floor at the Ace event. Was it the Ace Fall Slam or something like that? That might be the coolest picture of the year for me, just, you know, because everybody talks about parking on the dance floor, but he was right there in front of the band, and the band's in the background, the photos. I mean, those were really, really cool. So a lot of fun talking to him, and just the other thing that was cool was talking about trying to teach Donovan, and how he's, you know, they say some of these people are just so good at what they do are not great teachers. And he kind of admitted to that. He just, I can't tell you, it's feel, it's just, you know, some of these things. And That just tells you how natural it is after he's made so many runs for so long, and to be able to do it, that was impressive too. So lots of fun, yeah. Man,
that was a fun one for sure. And, you know, this week is, like we alluded to earlier, the Great American Guaranteed Million here at Memphis International Raceway. I'm in my hotel room. I'm ready. We're recording this on a Monday. So tomorrow morning I will be at the racetrack waking everybody up at 8 a.m. Rumor is we're going to have some music going through the PA since we don't have a live feed tomorrow. It's going to be a fun weekend, Gary. I've known about this race since before it come out for sure. I don't know if I can legally say exactly. I just got to thinking about that.
A long time.
I've known about it over a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And I've been excited since I found out, and to see it finally get here. You know, we were so pumped up to have it on Memorial Day weekend, and that didn't get to happen. And now that we're finally here, I don't get nervous for a whole lot for calling laps. I got a little nervous for the 100K foot brake final. I'm going to be real nervous Saturday calling a lap for $1 million because the term gets thrown around all the time. This is life-changing money.
Yeah, it is.
And is there going to be a split? More than likely, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but I mean, at the 1.1, they still had 750 in the pot for the final two guys. I was shocked.
That's what I was going to allude to. It's, you know, the winner, I think, very easily walk away with $500,000.
I think so.
Now, I'm just a poor boy from the fucking slums of Texas, but I don't think I've seen $500,000 in my lifetime.
That's a lot
of money. I couldn't imagine turning on that wind light and having it handed to you. I mean, Steve Sisko knows what that feels like.
Yep.
But no one else does.
No.
And it's going to be really cool to get someone else to come out. And also, we kind of talked about earlier, we've had $2 million races. And I don't know if anyone's noticed, but Door Cars won both of them.
Yeah.
And not to offend Steve or Scotty, but old guys have won both of them.
The has-beens.
Yeah. Has-beens have won two of two.
And Scotty's in a car that I don't know that anybody just looking at the photo would have thought that was a winning $1 million race car. Now it's got Scotty in it, so that automatically makes it capable.
It also has a roof hatch, Gary. I don't know if you knew that.
And no hood.
Yeah, I mean, I told someone this weekend, you know, Scotty grew up driving an old funny car.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe like that kind of got the wheels going back, turning to the olden days. I don't know, but we had the Cow Pasture Nationals this past weekend, and while I was working, I was watching the million, and to see him turn on that wind light is really cool as someone from the DFW area who grew up with Scotty and Edmund being, you know, like Scotty, Edmund, the Tommy Phillips, the Heffler brothers, like those were like the people you looked up to, bracket racing world or sportsman racing world. And to see him was like, that was the one thing that he needed. That was the one thing he didn't have.
I mean, bracket racing history is complete now that a Richardson name is on $1 million win.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's like it was something that was missing. It was either him or Edmund had to win one to just make things right.
One of them needed it. And from the looks of it, it looked like Edmund was just happy as Scotty was.
Yeah, I think Austin put out there, he goes, I don't know that I've seen my old man smile that big in a long time.
Well, they've been trying for so many years.
Yeah, because they've been to all of them probably since, what, for 20 years plus?
Yeah, either Scotty or Edmund, if not both of them, have been to all of them since, mid to late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, go through all that, you know, they've won 5-day, you know, they've won Indy, they've won world title, you know, they've done all this stuff, and they're already legend, but they just needed one thing and they finally got it. So that was.
But think about the car. You mentioned the cars. I mean, you know, Sisko's car is not a traditional bracket car that he won in. The wheel standing Chevy 2 that's really more like a super stocker than anything. Even Scotty's car, that little Chevy 2 standing on the back bumper. I mean, that's not what you traditionally think of as a good bracket car. But yet they were damn good and both picked up $1 million wins. So.
Yep.
And it just proves that anybody can win in any car that shows up, and you better not take anybody lightly. So,
oh, absolutely not. And, you know, you always get like murmurs around the pits, especially from these younger guys. Like, you know, like that's really cool. You know, they respect these older racers. I say older. The guys of Cisco and Scotty's caliber and Nick Folk, which Nick Folk's not that old yet. But they're some of the younger guys were kind of like, you know what? It's really cool what they've accomplished, but now it's our turn.
Mm-hmm.
Well, these young guys ain't won shit this year on mm-hmm. the big, big stage. So we got two more $1 million races left. Unfortunately, SFG 500 got pushed to next year. I almost have to make it like a call out for these young guys. Like, since I'm still technically young, I mean, I'm 26. Guys, I'm going to need y'all to step this shit up because we're getting upstaged by people who are literally grandpas.
I think Scotty's my age, but I guess he is old enough. He is a grandpa though, right?
He is a grandpa.
I don't think of him as that though.
So, and I respect Scotty a ton,
mm-hmm.
but young guys, I mean, I didn't get to watch. I mean, I got to watch a little bit at the end, but at five cars, the youngest guy left in is Kyle Cotrera.
Yeah, he's one of the young guns.
But, I mean, Kyle's my age, if not older.
Yeah, one of the real young guns, though.
Where is all these young guys, like everyone that was on that young guns team, where were they at?
Watching Scotty do what yeah. Scotty does.
About the best out of them so far has been Hunter. He made it to four at the 1.1. But, you know, we have a guaranteed million on the line. And what would be really life-changing if it was someone who wasn't closer to a AARP card as they were to graduating high school to win one of these deals and actually really change your life for the long run, I think that would be really cool.
I think it'd be cool if these old guys just keep stepping on these young guys' throats and just showing them that they're the best and there's a reason and they're not moving over anytime soon.
Well, of course you say that, Gary. You're old as fuck, too. So,
yeah, I'm not a has-been. I was the never-was, but yeah, I'll pull for the old guys.
Never was. I'm a still not. So, yeah,
there you go.
It's going to be a fun weekend in Memphis. Me and Jake will be on the microphone all weekend.
That'll make JJ, it fun.
Yeah, J.J. Pinkton be rolling in just in time for the million on Friday.
Awesome. So I heard him for the first time this year. I don't get to watch a lot of the live feeds anymore. And the other night I was listening and I heard him get on the mic and I almost didn't recognize him. He is growing up.
Absolutely.
Little JJ is not little JJ anymore. It's so proud of him, man. He is so good and talented and his voice has just came up and matured and he just continues to sound so good. He's just got a bright future ahead of him.
Oh, yeah. Me and Jake have talked about before, like, we have to get as many jobs as we can because as soon as JJ gets old enough to where you can legally hire him.
Oh, my
God. Like, we're done.
He just used to – not long ago, he sounded like a kid, and he was really good. Don't get me wrong, but his voice just hadn't matured. And you still go, okay, that's a young kid. Now it's like, oh, my God. It was really good. So, really proud of him.
Oh, yeah. It's really cool. That's my slot car teammate. So
that's right.
It's cool.
He's pretty good at that slot car stuff.
Yep. We could – getting to watch him grow up a little bit. Obviously, I'm not as close to it as Jed is.
All right, I got
to
ask you before I forget. So,
all right,
the winner's going to get the $1 million check this week, and they're going to get this trophy. They're going to get a belt and a – I don't even – tell me all the stuff they're getting.
So, obviously, you're going to get a significant amount of money, whatever that ends up being, potentially $1 million.
Yep.
If someone wants to keep it going that long. You're going to get the tallest and potentially the heaviest trophy in all the bracket racing, if not drag racing in general. You're going to get a championship belt that is cool as shit. You're going to get a Alliance Racewear fire suit, custom fire suit, and you're going to get a custom paint helmet by, I believe, Imagine That Customs.
Yes, so, yes, just Imagine That.
Yeah, I feel really bad for the runner-up. Because all you're going to get is a high five and a good payday. And the guy who beat you by just however much that little bit, all he did is turn on one more win like you did. He gets a whole lot of cool shit. Yeah. So it's going to be potentially the longest winner circle ever. Because we got to get the trophy put together because you can't carry it.
Oh, no, I was going to say, some people may not even get that home.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
Verdi goes off and wins that. I don't know if the Dooley's going to take it home. If he's going to be spotting the Dooley to take it home.
Yeah, and Verdi is here. I just saw him and Dave Triplett at dinner.
Oh, that's badass right there.
Yeah, walking through the parking lot of Chili's, and I see $4 million wins. So
that's pretty cool.
Yep.
And two door cars, by the way.
Technically just three, saying. Because Verdi brought two of them here.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, I said two. Yeah, they both won in door cars. So.
Yep. So it's going to be fun, man. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's the first time I've ever announced 6 days in a row. I'm going to say maybe the 525. I forget what day we started on it, but 6 days of racing for a whole lot of money. Tomorrow we got shootouts, and then the live feed will kick off Wednesday. We'll have our 40Ks and then move on from there and start the million on Friday. And the part that I probably think is the coolest is we're going to stop at some point Friday. We're going to pick up Saturday, and everyone gets a time run.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone, it's not a blind run.
Yeah. So what time do you think they're going to be crowning the champion on Saturday?
Oh.
Should be early, right?
It'd be early enough to they can celebrate and not have to go to bed, like right after. We got 4:50. Took that. Ain't no reason we couldn't get done by, I'd say, 7.
Okay, that'll be fun.
Prime time on Saturday night, just in time for everyone to watch and root on who you think is going to win, all that good stuff.
Well, I can tell you're jazzed up about this. I'm excited to go. And last year I missed the million. I went to the OG million for the first time, and the weather kind of messed it up. And so I kind of had to watch Sunday when I was driving back home. I just watched the live feed all the way back home to Houston, and didn't get to stay for that last little bit and see the, you know, final and feel the tension of that. So looking forward to being there Saturday and being there for that final and just seeing that energy and excitement. So and I'm excited to go, man. Get to see a lot of people from the East Coast and central part of the U.S. that I hadn't seen this year, and it's just the excitement's been building. So it's gonna be a good race. So
yep, I'm excited. I haven't got to see a whole lot of my Top Bowl racing family this year. Life's mm-hmm. taking a little bit different course for this year, where last year I went to a whole lot of big money Top Bowl races. This year I haven't really got out to them. So I'm excited. I get to see a bunch of people I don't get to usually see. We get to race for a whole bunch of money. And someone's
you get to call a 100K final. You've already called foot brake final. And now you get to call a guaranteed million final.
Yep. And then I'll be at the OG million too. I don't know who's going to call that final. But it's going to be fun, man. I'm excited. A lot of racing still going on. I don't know what to say. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get started.
All right, man. Well, I am going to remind everybody that the Fall Fling West is the week after the Guaranteed Million, and I will be there live and in person. So looking forward to hanging out with the East Coast guys this week and the West Coast guys the next week. So we'll be there Thursday morning for the 100K shootout and all the way through the weekend. So super excited about that race. It'll be my first fling race to go to, and just heard so much about that. Just get to work with Peter and Kyle is a lot of fun. So looking forward to seeing everybody there racing for 10, 50, 10 over the weekend, 100K on Thursday. So that's going to be cool. You're at the OG million the week after that. So
yep. The week before that, I'll be at the GPE Bottom Bowl. I want to say Bottom Bowl Bash. Oh my God. Noggin's going to kill me for not remembering this race. Wait for me. I swear I'm not usually this terrible at this. The GPE Bottom Bowl Blowout at Mid-America Dragway in Southern Kansas. First year these guys putting on this race is actually, I was told, it's the highest paying race in Kansas. Like it says, it's a bottom bowl race, foot brake and trains brake. It's a traditional no box race, got a gambler's race on Friday. They have a shootout for a 24-foot enclosed trailer Friday night as well. We're running two races on Saturday, one for $2,000, one for $5,000, and then running another race for $2,500. Pretty cheap weekend entry at $220, or you can double it, $400. It's going to be a fun deal. Jonathan Moggins and the whole crew at Mid-America Dragway putting this deal on for the Bomb Bowl guys in the Midwest. Those guys really don't get a whole lot of big races out their way. Mo can do a little bit of stuff, and I think KID does a little bit, but they really don't get a whole lot of big money races, especially off the bottom. So this will be fun. I'm excited. I get to race that. I have no idea what I'm driving. I keep hearing, well, I got you this, or man, like this guy said you could drive this, or so I guess I'm just going to show up when I get there, and I'm just point me in the direction of the car I need to get in.
Hey,
and we're gonna go from there.
Just get in it and act like you're at Bristol on the gambler's race and just go hammer some heads, man.
Well, I don't know if it's going to be a hook and hillbilly, but it's going to be fun for sure. A lot of people probably don't know the guys out of the Kansas area that come off the bottom, but there's some bad dudes. I mean, the guy that's putting on the race, Jonathan Moggins, has won a ton of races. I'm sure Troy Ross will be there. Troy's always tough. I'm sure the Wheeler clan will be there.
Wheeler's going to be at the Million this week, because I'm going to tell you what, those two boys are killing it. Carson and I'm going to draw a blank on his brother's name, but I've met both of them.
Colton.
They are bad dudes in those little blower cars.
Yeah, I'm sure Dan is sending them somewhere. I would imagine they're coming. I don't know that to be fact.
I mean, you talk about a young gun that can get it done. I think Carson could make some noise this weekend if he's there.
Oh, absolutely he could.
I mean, he was he won the 50 at the Motorplex earlier this year,
and then he
was late
20.
Yeah, he was runner up. I mean, he's making rounds, so. My son, they parked across from us at one of the races, and my son told me how much he loved blower cars, and we need a blower for our car just by listening to those two go. And they just kept going back and forth, making rounds. So
it's okay. Tara says the same thing. Yeah. So she wants a blower on her car too.
All right. Well, speaking of the hook and hillbilly, Jake was traveling with his son Easton today. They were heading to Memphis and just didn't work out that he could be on the podcast with us. But we were glad to have G-Dub on here. And then obviously Ryan kind of carried the show today, so we appreciate that. But anything else before we let him go, man?
Man, just a quick thank you I put on Facebook. But thank you to all the racers that came to the Cowpasture Nationals at Ardmore this past weekend. Had a pretty decent car count we tried to do every year, paid out all our money guaranteed, and thank you guys, and I can't wait to see everybody this weekend in Memphis.
All right, man, have fun. I'll see you Saturday night, and we'll see everybody else next week.
All right, thank you guys.